ABC Radio Australia.
And while communication with Tonga remains difficult from Australia at least, it's also rather expensive, with reports that call rates are as high as $6 per minute. It's a situation that's just adding stress to the situation for relatives trying to make contact with loved ones back in the islands. And the chief executive of the Tonga Rugby Union, Peter Harding, was already stranded in Australia and separated from his wife Sheila and his son Reef after he got COVID-19 on his way back from the Ikaletahi's tour of Europe. That separation will be extended now, as the prospects of getting to Tonga from Australia anytime soon are remote. In the meantime, Peter Harding has had very little communication with his wife, but enough to learn about the ordeal she and their son experienced, including the loss of a close friend, the Briton Angela Glover, who ran an animal shelter in Nuku'alofa.
I've had one call on Monday morning. They managed to get an Aussie Defence satellite phone and they said they're okay. I did talk to them before the communications went off as they were trying to get away from the coast, which was pretty scary. But since then, I've had one call.
So do you have any idea what things look like in terms of where you were living and where you were working? Is everything still intact or do you not know?
The family went back to the house on Sunday morning and the house is intact. I know that the water didn't get down to there because of where we're situated. My wife was at the beach when the explosion went off, so she obviously raced and got into the car and got the dogs in the car and got home as quick as possible. Then the New Zealand High Commission rang and said, come up here, we're on high ground. So her friends were there. So she started driving up to the High Commission, but the water was coming down the street, so she couldn't get there. She had to turn around and go back the other way and got onto the main bypass road along the lagoon. Everyone was trying to get out of town. Both sides of the road were going the same way, no one going the other way, and it was just gridlocked. So that was when it went completely pitch black. And she rang and they were getting away. And I mean, you didn't know what was going on then. But it did give me some relief because I know where that is situated and it'd be difficult for a wave, unless it was massive, to get across all that land. And she did say that the water coming down the street was probably about a metre and a half high. And I think I was not going to get there, but who knows what was going on. And I didn't really hear anything. She rang my mum, somehow got through on Sunday morning, and then got through to me for a couple of minutes on Monday morning. But there's been no connection since then. I've been trying to ring. Telephone lines are up. I just talked to people in New Zealand and they're getting free calls. All the telephone companies over there have given free calls to Tongans to try and ring home. It's not quite so in Australia. I don't know why that hasn't happened, but the companies here don't seem that keen to do it. But still, I don't know how many lines are open. So we did try this morning, but it's not quite working.
And whilst your wife was caught up in the situation and the way you've described it, I mean, that's pretty scary. It goes without saying. Where were your kids at this time?
Our son was in the car. He was pretty terrified, actually, as you could probably imagine. And he was showing me out the window what was going on in the sky with the burning pieces of pumice stone flying through the sky and stuff like that. It was apocalyptic, to be honest with you. He described it as a Ghidorah storm, if anybody knows the Godzilla movies. And it was pretty much like that. It was just pitch black with things flying through the sky. It was unbelievable. I couldn't imagine what it would be like for them.
And for you, of course, you were already in the situation where your return from Europe with the Tongan rugby team had been delayed because you contracted COVID-19 and you found yourself marooned effectively in Australia, and that's still the case. What are your prospects of being reunited anytime soon?
It's going to be very difficult. We've had a very effective lockdown and kept COVID out of the country, and there will be multiple casualties and injuries from this, and the hospital will be treating those people, and I'm pretty sure the hospital doesn't need a wave of COVID patients coming in at the same time. So they're in a very delicate position where they don't want to let the virus into the country, but they still need people and aid to get into the country. So who'd be a politician and having to make those decisions?
So clearly this is a hugely difficult time for you, a hugely difficult time for your family back there in the Nuku'alofa. And of course, this is being repeated all around the diaspora. But I presume because of your obvious rugby connections and the fact that I gather the rugby world is starting to rally around and offer their support to Tonga, that must give you quite a lift. I mean, how is that playing out? Who's putting their hands up to help?
We've had three of the big organisations reach out so far. Until we actually get going, I don't want to say. Everybody's offering to help, so we have to find the right vehicle and the right way to go about helping, whether it's a trust fund. I remember the tragedy in Christchurch. Canterbury Rugby Union started a trust fund for people to use if they wanted to make donations. And when Samoa had their issue, there was a North versus South game at Twickenham. So we need to find the best way to do it and the best way to get money to people. It's only just happened, but some ideas are starting to come through, and I'm talking talking to another couple of people. But we have had support straight away from, well, two of the biggest organisations. So it'd be good if the other organisations, including Southern Hemisphere ones, could come in as well and we could work out a way to... It's not so much about the rugby, it's about getting help to people on the ground, however people want to do it, because people need food and water straight up. And if you have a look at the west of the island, where our friends live, you just got to get on Facebook and have a look at a few of the pictures. They haven't been damaged over there. They've been absolutely wiped out. It's astounding the damage it's done.
But the fact that there are so many Tongan players spread around the world, and this is a subject that comes up for discussion in different forms from time to time, but on this occasion I'm thinking this is a real positive, isn't it? Because all these guys will have connections back in the islands and they will no doubt be talking to the media in whichever country they're in, and that they can spread the message and give people a bit of an insight as to what's really happened and the level of help that's required.
Yes, I hope they all get an opportunity to voice what they're experiencing at the moment, and I hope everybody gets the opportunity to be able to ring home as well and find out that their relatives are safe, or just get the status of what's going on with their houses, with their relatives. Many of them have houses and land back home, so they'd be probably wondering what's happened to that. So you're perfectly correct, and I just hope everybody gets the opportunity to tell everyone what's happened so that we can raise money and rebuild.
And do you share the view that is so often expressed at a time like this, that there is a particular inbuilt resilience, if you like, in the Pacific Islands, and that regardless of this hammer blow for Tonga, that the country will recover and will get back to some sort of normality?
Oh, 100%. You've got to get into the islands to see. They don't complain. We've had three disasters in 4 years, which have been pretty unbelievable. But Tongan people will just get up the next morning and start cleaning up. They don't complain. They don't whinge, they don't go, poor me. They'll just get up and get on with it. It's just how they are. I don't know how to describe it. They'll just get up and start working and get on with it. It's almost like a Zen-like approach, and they'll do it with a smile on their face. And to be honest, I just want to get back and help.
That's Peter Harding, Chief Executive of the Tongan Rugby Union, keen to get back to Nuku'alofa as soon as possible to assist with the post-disaster cleanup, and of course be reunited with his wife and son after what has turned out to be several months apart.